Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
We're all like guns, and I love being free. Because I'm armed, you can't take that from me, and you should know it.
Hello and welcome to New Shooter Canada. And unless Benny wants to take lead, welcome to episode 144, version George Point O. And Mike was nice enough to add a paragraph here, which makes no sense and kind of throws me under the bus. So I am going to move on to what we did in Guns. And I know 2 weeks in a row, it's a bit of an overload on George, but I'm going to try and not chase the squirrels and end up with a 2.5 hour episode. And it takes Mike 2 days to, okay, see, I'm doing it already. So let's focus on what we did in Guns. All right. So I will start off because I'm selfish that way. I made plans with a buddy, listener Terry. I used to work with him many, many moons ago. I made plans with him. He's going to be coming back from the land that gave us the Gang of Green and visiting us in August, so I'll be shooting with him. And I was supposed to reload some 45s, but I didn't. And I'm also hijacking the show this week, so that's also what I did in Guns. So now let me blow the dust off Thomas. So we can hear what he did in Muskets. Thomas.
Hello, I'm Thomas, and we also have Benny since George didn't bother to introduce us. He just started squirreling right away.
When do I ever introduce anybody?
So you actually want me to talk about what I did with Guns this week?
Yeah, what are you doing Guns this week, Thomas?
Like, you're actually finished now, George, blowing the dust off me? Like, I haven't had a blowjob in so long.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you know how the show works.
But there goes our family rating.
Yeah. So when I throw it off to you, that's when you start talking about what you did in Guns. So continue.
Well, I got the Arsenal Strike Back 1.
Go ahead, Thomas.
And actually, I got a letter from the company, and it was kind of good. They said, Dear Mr. Donnelly, thank you very much for using our product and providing information on issues you have encountered. As you already know, your pistol serial number so-and-so was delivered to, I won't say the name of the company, in July 2015 as a long-range conversion kit set LRC-2. The question how the pistol ended up in an individual pistol case and why the pistol came without the manual should be directed to the company. Unfortunately, except for the frame, no other parts have a serial number, which makes it hard to conclude if any of the parts have been substituted after delivery to the company. During the overhaul, it was found that the Striker return spring was missing, even though the warranty return period had expired. They still installed a new Striker, a new return spring, a new mainspring, and conducted a test fire at all, no cost to me. And then we also included a return manual, again, as they said, no cost to me. They actually made a video, and they test the pistol with 10 rounds of Winchester 115 grain, 10 rounds of Blazer 124, 115 grain Browning, 115 grain Southern Bellet, 115 grain Remington, and some American Eagle 147 grain. They actually made a video. In the video, they pick up the bottom of the gun so you can see the serial number, and they verify it. And they shot 60 rounds. It shot beautifully. Then they put, please note, we will not accept any complaints on issues with reloaded ammunition. However, properly reload ammunition specifications to Ruger 919 will not cause malfunctions. I don't think English is his first language. Special consideration be given to cases used in reloading. Do not use cases fired in a firearm that do not have fully supported chambers. Example, Glock, which they didn't say. These cases are bulged and will not chamber properly in the Strike One barrel, which are made to the highest precision. We hope you now enjoy shooting your Strike One pistol. Sincerely, Inter Ammo Impex Incorporated. So I appreciate the fact they did fix the gun, and actually we test fired it today and it shot beautifully. But none of my cases were bulge Glock cases. My 9mm brass is all once fired stuff that I've had for years, and my friend John, it was all Remington cases because we bought a couple of cases together. So there was no bulge cases in it. But you never know. The stuff that listener Thomas had was Wolf Reload, so it's possible there was one in there, but not with my dies, because I've got the bulging die, so everything gets resized. So it wasn't the case. I think it was the fact that those aim points I were using was 356, so all the 355 stuff. But anyway, it shot really well. Today, I went to the range, and I took my friend Glenn shooting for the first time, well, pistol for the first time. He'd only shot his buddy 17 HMR before. Actually, that's how I actually first knew that Glenn was into guns. I was, we were about, the first time I met him, he had a 17 HMR case as a necklace, and that's what got us talking the gun. So I've known him for maybe 3 or 4 months, so I invited him to the range. So first, I started on my 22. We started with the basics, grips, stance, trigger press.
Now, was this the Donnelly you gave him?
No, I didn't bring the Donnelly. I left it at home.
Oh.
Yeah, I brought the Smith & Wesson 22A, the Tallow Edition. I don't know why. I just looked at the Donnelly. I'd take something different for a change. And then we discovered that he's left-handed, and we discovered that he is right-eye dominant left-handed, so that kind of put a few challenges, but he put 50 rounds of Gila high speed through the 22, and of course, you know, he was pulling the muzzle down because, you know, he's a little nervous and he's kind of kept heavy on the trigger, but he did really well. And we had to crush him a couple times about, you know, finger outside the trigger and stuff, and just work on his grip and everything and make him not cross his thumb so he doesn't rip the skin off his knuckles. But after 50 rounds, he did really well. So then I progressed up to the Excalibur. And that was much better for him since it's an ambidextrous gun, and he did really well with the Excalibur. He really liked that. And then I actually gave him a whole box of that really high pressure Tula factory crap, the steel case. And I said, "Here's the arsenal, shoot it." And he shot the whole box of the Tula crap through the Arsenal Strike One, and it shot really well. There was no problems with it, so I thanked them for fixing the gun. And then I really woke him up. I let him use my 1911 with some nice fat power loads. That kind of startled him when that went off. But he still, his only issue was that he was pulling heavy on the trigger. He was dropping his shots because he was pulling a little too hard. And then I put him on my AR. He was like George in his happy space. When he sat down with that AR, he just his face just lit up. And of course, the flames are shooting out the barrel. So he may be videotaping him from the back just to see the fireballs all the time. We did it in slow motion and stuff. So you might see some fireball video coming up on Facebook from Glenn. And hey, Benny, that X-Metal 223 stuff that I got off you, is that reloaded ammo or is that factory?
It's factory reload.
So it's reloaded ammo. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was all IVR cases. Because some of the fireballs would be consistent. You need to hardly get anything, just like a little. So that and then you'd get like a great big fireball. So it wasn't really consistent all the time. But I just had him sitting on the bench at 25 yards with the AR just and the red dot. Then I sat him down and I made him rest it. And then he was punching out nice little holes in the target. So he was really happy about that. I wasn't going to bother setting him up for 100 yards. Because I didn't have any steel setup or anything. So I just wanted him to see what he was doing and everything. And we were lucky because it was really hot today. But we had the range to ourselves. There was nobody there. And there was a bit of a breeze, but it was from the south. So it went right over us. It was great because it kept all the bugs out and everything. So it was a really nice day. And I think I only actually shot 10 rounds myself. He's shooting all my guns. I said, okay, hang on. I got to shoot something. So I pulled up. I pulled up my 1911. I put 10 shots downrange. Okay, now I feel better. Okay, now I'll go back to you. Because I had to supervise him when he was shooting. So I can't shoot at the same time since he doesn't have a license. But it was fun. That's about it. Because I did a George and I threw up my back last week. So I haven't been getting much shooting in the last couple weeks.
I didn't throw my back out. I got a big giant bulge compressing my spinal cord.
Does that come with age?
I win. Hey, I got a handicap placard because I'm like all decrepit and stuff.
You can park anywhere with those things.
I can. I could park up on the sidewalk if I want to.
You can't park on the sidewalk.
I think I can.
No, not just on the sidewalk.
I think I can.
You can park just about anywhere. I can park
in the lobby of the Walmart if I want to.
You can park in a no parking zone.
I can, George, but just the ones.
In Toronto, you don't have to pay for parking meters in Toronto if you've got a disabled parking spot.
I'm going to look it up in the criminal code because I think I can.
You park on the sidewalk and Terry comes by in the wheelchair. She's going to throw a rock at your car.
Ah, I almost ran over once.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah, you did. And me.
Oh, boy.
Hey, I do have to say, chivalry is not dead. Wanda and I were meeting Thomas and his wife at Boston Pizza for dinner, and I was making a left-hand turn, and I saw Terry the whole time. But Thomas didn't think I saw her, And he's like almost out in the middle of the road with his big hand out saying, doing the whole stop. And I'm like, who the hell's this idiot? And I go around him and get in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, the lady in front of him was in a wheelchair. I wonder if that was Thomas. Sure enough, we get there. I'm like, oh, look. Hi, Terry. I'm George. First time I ever met the lady. Almost run over her husband. So Thomas was willing to get run over for her.
Good.
And speaking of, I'm insured she's not.
Speaking of running over people, let's talk about Mike. Oh, hey, Mike's MIA.
Beep beep.
Because he doesn't like the listeners.
Where is he today? Does he have that big match up in Ottawa or?
No, something about working overtime, being all responsible and stuff. Who does that stuff anymore?
And so none of us.
I think he's pulling a George.
I've been off sick for 2 months now.
Are you not retired yet, Thomas?
Not officially. My sick benefits technically runs out on Wednesday, but then I was on 2 weeks vacation, so I get another 2 weeks of sick benefits. So I got to go see the doctor at up in Coburg on Tuesday, and then I go downtown Wednesday and I fill out the paperwork. I'm going to retire officially.
Is that Dr. Summeroff?
I'm seeing him now. He's going to refer me to Dr. Winteroff.
Dr. Winteroff. All right. So that brings us to Benny. What'd you do in guns?
I'm waiting for dryer sheets to start reloading my rifle because I want to get all the static out of my hopper because I only have one hopper. So I have to fill that up with rifle powder and then figure out what my rifle loads are going to be. Add a new section to my website.
You're waiting for dryer sheets. Can you not just jump in your car and drive to a grocery store and buy some Bounce?
That takes too much effort. Like, why would I make a special trip when I can just go when I'm already going and then remember when I'm there?
Have you not left the house in the last week?
I have. I just never remember. I keep forgetting.
Waiting on dryer sheets to start reloading the rifle.
Yep.
I think you could probably even pick them up in a Max Milk store. Although they're all the Max Milks are turning into Circle K's, but anyway. Okay, sorry for interrupting. I thought that was kind of comical.
Now, isn't there something else you can use besides dryer sheets to get rid of that static cling?
I don't know. I'm not in any rush right now. I'm not going to go shooting until probably next week, so I've got time.
I think if you use fabric softener, isn't there a fabric softener you use before it gets to the dryer?
It's going in his powder hopper. He's talking about reloading.
Yeah, I'm not gonna douse it in fabric softener.
Well, he just wants to wipe. He just wants to wipe it to get rid of any static charge in it, so it throws a proper charge.
I know. I'm making fun of the waiting for dryer sheets to start reloading. Go, Benny.
It's okay. I add a new section to the website, like a blog where I do reviews. So I have a review up already. MD streamlined the registration for 101 courses, and we also added a variation to this. So the courses where we do couples and families, so three people at a time.
Cool.
So
what constitutes a family?
Basically,
in Canada?
Three people.
No, I'm reading the show notes. It says what constitutes a family? ? I'm not sure. Were we supposed to ask the question and he answers? See, this is how much show prep we put into this. So what constitutes a family, Benny?
So family is just three people. So you can have one adult, two kids, two adults. One kid, three adults. I don't think I'd take three kids. And for that, you're shooting non-restricted. We're going to go out to a farm, have some fun, but all safe and legal, of course. So no restrictions for those courses. Prices are basically for the one-on-one non-restricted, which is the cheapest. It's $95 person. And then the one-on-one is $120 for restricted. For a couple, it's $165 for both, and then $185 for three people.
Does that include ammo?
That includes a little bit over a magazine per gun. You can buy more you can buy more ammo at the either at the range or where we go shooting, the non-restricted course.
So I should have charged Glenn today because he used up $60 worth of ammo. I did make him reimburse me for the ammo, but I didn't.
So I used to say the first time was free, and then I had some really enthusiastic shooters, and I decided to make it a business, so I can't let people off anymore.
No, I'm the same way. See, I used to throw in the $10 for the club fees. And the price of ammo has gone up so much now. I just say no. I said it's $10, and then just reimburse me for the ammo, because people are shooting. Like, when you take one person up, they're going to shoot $50 worth of ammo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like a brick. I know.
I've always had a hard time asking for money from people when I take them shooting, if it's the first time.
It depends what it is. If they're just coming up and it's a first time and they're just shooting my .22, I just say it's $10, and it'll cost you. I'll just say $20. $10 for the ammo. I mean, $10 for the club rate. And then just, if they're not going to shoot more than one or two boxes of 22s. And then $10 for the ammo, so $20. If I want to introduce, especially a young lady, if I want to introduce her to a sport, first-time shooter, they only get a 22. But once they start shooting the center fire, then I'm going to start charging them for the ammo.
Especially if they're a scout.
Especially if they're a scout.
Well, yeah, then they're just pulling out of mommy or daddy's wallet, so it's okay.
All right, so this brings us to guns in the news. Look at that, 25 minutes in. Wow, we're rocking it. Oh, wait a minute. Minus the 9 minutes of pre-show stuff.
It's even better.
So we're just rocking. We're under 20 minutes. Mike's gonna be happy. So who put in story one?
I think I did.
I'll read it.
Oh, well, that's easy then. Go ahead, Benny. Story one.
Okay, CTV Kitchener. Kitchener company to make machine guns for the Canadian Armed Forces. A Kitchener-based company has been awarded the $32.1 million contract to make machine guns for the Canadian Armed Forces. Colt Canada has been tasked with manufacturing 1,148 of the weapons, as well as maintenance kits, spare parts, and slings. The federal government says that they will replace the military's current machine guns, which have been in use for more than 30 years. According to the Department of National Defense, advantages of the new guns include a polymer buttstock instead of wooden ones, and the ability to detach optical sighting systems and other devices to the weapons. The new contract is expected to result in 13 new jobs at Colt Canada, with the guns delivery to the military between September 2018 and June 2019.
So retooling our armies only going to
No.
13 jobs?
Yeah, but they're... Okay, I don't know who pulled this off, but you could just take in the old ones and then... Not even do that. You can just replace the buttstock, because I looked at this and I'm pretty sure the way you, in order to take down this rifle, you detach the buttstock. So replacing it from wood to polymer, just make a bunch of new polymer stocks. In terms of adding a Picatinny rail to the top, that's like a 2 second job. Let's say it's a 10 second job for a gunsmith. I don't know who convinced the government to pay $32.1 million for this.
Yeah, that's bizarre. But at least it's staying within Canada, so that's something.
And this was from CTV. If you notice that both CTV and, was it CBC, both had positive pro-gun stories lately. They both covered the IPSC, especially the juniors, up for in the Nationals. And it was all positive. It was young ladies shooting, and it was well-represented, nothing negative. And they really put shooting sports in IPSC in a positive light, which I was quite surprised to see, but it was good to see.
That's good. Yeah, they both ran that story.
Yeah, I just saw the City TV, and it was the junior shooters, and I saw a little link to the CBC story. That one I didn't look at, but it was all positive, which is nice for change. And we did not win that war bonds contest for the $10,000 worth of gun stuff.
No, they didn't do the main draw yet, have they?
Yeah, they did it.
I thought they just did the, what's it called?
No, it was yesterday, 28th. Rod draw it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
I missed that.
I have to empty my shopping cart then.
Aww.
All right. So story two, I actually came across, and I got a chuckle out of it, because it just seems so odd that Kelly, the old Regis and Live with Regis show, it's now Kelly and Ryan, I guess, or something. I don't know. Some daytime stupid show. The Live Regis show. But they had Ronda Rousey on, and apparently she got robbed. And she's talking about it, and she's like, yeah, our guns got stolen and this and that. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, back that video up. So I got a little chuckle out of it. I thought it was interesting, just more because I don't think you can get much. Well, there's The View and then, like, that live show. So anyways.
You actually watch that stuff?
No, it just...
Daytime TV, what other choice do you have?
No, I clicked on the link because it was Ronda Rousey got robbed. And I'm like, oh my goodness, who is dumb enough or bad beep enough to rob a champion MMA fighter? Like, you gotta... It clangs when that guy walks, I swear. Because that's pretty ballsy. Anyways, so the story... Here's the story. And there's a link to the clip, and I think it's at the 24:34 mark when she's actually talking about it, because I think they had her on for some other, I don't know, 24 minutes worth of rubbish stuff. So here's the story. Ronda Rousey tells a wild story about what happened when someone tried to rob her house. Rousey was a guest on Live with Kelly and Ryan on Wednesday, and while she was telling the story of her engagement to UFC fighter Travis Brown, she revealed that the whole process was interrupted by a robbery at her home. And then this is her speaking. He was going to sneak away and go ask my mom for permission. And then right when we got to the house, we realized we were robbed, Rousey said. Someone had been squatting in my house for like 3 days, sleeping in my bed, stole my Olympic ring. I didn't realize she was an Olympian. She was an Olympian. Anyways, here's the line here. Stole my guns and all my precious jewelry. Of course, I didn't notice the Olympic or the jewelry. I'm like, guns? Stole your guns? I'm like, oh man, this chick's bad. I think I can say that. And then every headphone in the house and credit cards. Anyways, I'm not going to read the rest of it. She just goes on and on and on about it. Anyways, there's a link in the thing. I just thought it was kind of funny. I'm like, oh, and then, wait a minute, let me see here. Because they get back to the house, and the guy, there's like a skate park across the street, and her fiance went over and like started stalking the guys and found the guys and was about to beat the snot out of them. And then she says, we'll get sued pretty hard, so we found the police right then and caught them. I wish 5 minutes with me was a sentence. I think that would go under cruel and unusual punishment. I don't know. For Live with Kelly and Ryan, it just this whole thing just seems so out of place.
So hold on. So the guy robs them, but they're across the street skateboarding?
Well, yeah, he went to the local skate park, found them.
Yeah, he went to the
called the cops, and the cops dealt with it.
Yeah. He beelines it straight to the skate park, finds the guys right away. He's smart enough to not, you know, she said, and she mimicked a punch into her palm. So it's in the link. I'm like, Ronda Rousey, she's kind of a bad chick. Well, as long as you don't watch her last fight, because she got TKO'd in like 40 seconds. So the Brazilian chick, she's even more bad. But I just thought it was cool. I'm like, hey, she owns guns. That's pretty cool. Well, and she's an MMA fighter, and she's a tough girl. So you don't want to mess with her.
She didn't have her stuff stored in a safe or something, because three kids in a skateboard park aren't going to have the skill to break into a half-decent
safe. Well, no, it sounded like somebody would squat. Well, it sounded like it was they had been away, or maybe it was a second home that they don't go to very often, because she starts off by saying the person was squatting. Someone had been squatting in my house for like 3 days. So obviously they hadn't been there for a while.
They're probably wearing their clothes or something. That's why they spotted them.
I have no idea. But he made a beeline for the skate park and found them. Like, who would do that? That's an MMA fighter is the last person I'd want to be squatting and trying to steal from.
Looks so, like there's a big sign on the house saying, hey, this is, you know, this is Ronda Rousey's house. What's her name? Sorry, I'm not an MMA.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey.
No idea. Ronda Rousey's house.
No idea who she is.
I only know her because there was a huge... She was like the women's champion or something forever, and like the biggest bad chick in MMA fighting. And then she lost her championship and disappeared for a year. And then like a few months ago, there was this huge media hype that she was making a comeback and she was going to challenge the current champ. And she's going to win back her title and blah, blah, blah. You know all the hype that gets built up around these things, right? And she got her butt handed to her in 40 seconds. Just got smoked. So, but she owns guns. So
she was in the last Fast and Furious movie.
Was she?
Yeah, she played one of the bad guys' bodyguards.
Yeah, see? Like, that's how bad she is. Like, she's just a tough chick. Are you still allowed to say chick? Well, I just did.
George, I think your age gives you a pass on most of the PC stuff.
Well, gotcha.
You know what?
I just say
the fact
cute.
That I just don't care about the PC stuff and gives me the pass too, but I'll take it. Oh, Thomas, you took out what I had in new in industry.
You didn't have anything new in industry.
No, but I had a little slam against you.
That's right, so I took it out.
What's new in industry? Since this is Thomas's baby, Thomas put something in here and then he, you know, totally deflects and throws it to Benny. So Benny, what's new in the industry?
Well, I don't know. I've been keeping my eye on Lockhart Tactical's pistol carbine that's coming out. They released a photo of the barrel. That looks pretty cool. Reminds me of Tana's. That's not at all what Thomas was thinking when he asked me to do this.
Well, the other thing I noticed too is that Firearms Outlet has the new GSG carbine. I haven't actually seen it yet. It came out a few months ago, and it's the first time I've seen it in Ontario. So I haven't had a chance to check it out though.
I think the ISSC one looks better, personally. Just because it's just the stock. I think it looks nicer.
Oh my goodness. Man. Sorry, Mike. ISSC. I love my M22 that I got from John. And, you know, I almost paid literally nothing for it. So it has a minor flaw that's a little annoying. But, because it's cheap and I love the gun. It's, you know.
Well, it's so you. It's cheap.
It's like
right?
if you have a bunch of kids and one of your kids is kind of ugly, you know, you still love it anyways, even though it's an ugly kid, right? So it's kind of falls into that boat.
You're really leaning on that old man card there.
He's talking about himself, hey Benny?
So
okay.
So I'm at Bullseye and I mentioned it to I'm buying all this ammunition, and I mentioned it to the guy, and I said, I hear they're fixing it or they're doing something. Oh no, they work great. I'm like, no, you got Gen 2s over there. I said, I got a Gen 1. He's like, oh, I got a number for you to call. And I'm like, of course you do. So it goes to some random answering machine in Toronto that I've called several times and they never called back. And so I went to the website, entered the serial number, got into an email conversation, and the guy took about 3 email conversations to tell him the slide lock, when you push down on it, doesn't release the slide forward. I don't understand what you mean. Could you please be more precise? I'm like, and then I finally said, listen, I'll do a freaking video of it, buddy, if you can't figure this out. Oh, I understand now what you're talking about. Run many rounds through it and it will work. And I'm like, I've got over 1,000 rounds through it. I said, I've put probably about 300 rounds through it this week alone. I said, it's not a break-in issue. No response. And they've just totally ditched me. So as much as I love ISSC, my M22, I will never buy another ISSC unless I get a wicked smoking deal like I did before. Then I might buy it. But a brand new one, I would never buy it because they're just a crappy company to deal with. So,
are you sure it was ISSC or it wasn't there? Like,
it's right to Austria. I was dealing with the folks in Austria.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So
I was going to say, like, sounds like you're talking to like the importer or whatever. And
no, these were the guys right from Austria. Like, it was even like dot whatever. They're Australian or not Australian.
Why don't you just get the warranty repair center address and send it back?
Well, that's what I was hoping they would give me, but they wouldn't.
It should be on the website.
Well, I didn't see it.
So you know what you do? Go into LinkedIn, search the company, find someone high up, and send them an email.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother got blacklisted by Dell for that.
Did he?
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's just a little bit of a side.
It worked. He got his computer fixed in the end. It took him a month or so, or a couple months, and about 9 computers later.
I love the gun. It's just, you got to reach inside the ejection port to push down the little piece that sticks up that holds the slide back, and then try, you know, hopefully it doesn't close and snap on your finger.
So you can't just tap and rack. You have to actually push down the slide release.
Yeah, you got to actually reach in and physically push down on it.
Sounds like something snapped.
It could be. I don't know.
Is it a plastic or a metal piece?
I I don't know.
You don't know whether it's plastic or metal?
Oh, the slide stop is metal. The button, the slide release is plastic.
Is it spring actuated?
Yeah, I think so. But it's not very springy.
Is it stuck in the open position? Or like when you pull
I'm not a gunsmith, man. I have no idea. All I know is I stick my finger in, I push down on it, the slide goes forward, I shoot my 10 rounds, then I gotta repeat when I change the mech. That's about as much as I know. I don't know.
Okay. I guess we're going to have to go shooting one day and have a look at it.
It's a great gun, though. Other than the slide doesn't go forward, unless you stick your finger inside.
That could be painful.
Actually, you know, this is a sad thing to say, but I've actually gotten quite good at it, and it's almost like, I almost got like muscle memory for to do it now.
So you're good at sticking your finger into things?
Alright, so, main topic.
Thank you, George.
I'm thinking pie.
Mike is away working some overtime, being a responsible adult husband and daddy. So I, in my ultimate wisdom, thought, hey, I could jump in, take over, I'll do my Gordie Howe impersonation, throw some elbows around, and because I had a great, great main topic. I don't know how great it is, but it amused me, and, you know, small things amuse small minds. So I decided to do the Spaghetti Western week on New Shooter Canada.
Does this mean I can go for a cigarette while we start this time?
We just had Shark Week on Discovery Channel, so it's now Spaghetti Western Week on New Shooter Canada. And what does that mean? I thought we should talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to range stories. So I will start us off with the good. I was kind of reminiscing back over some of my YouTube videos, and I always get a chuckle off the one where I shot my very first reloads, and I gave my daughter my phone to do a video, and just before we started hitting recording, I was kind of joking around, and I'm like, these are either going to go bang, or they're going to go boom and blow up the gun. So I hit record, and I'm like, just as I get ready to shoot, you see her almost running away from me. And then I'm done shooting, then she gets closer, and then I get ready to shoot again, and she runs away from me. And I always got a chuckle out of that. And that's one of my good memories of being out at the range. And I've got the YouTube in the link for the video in the show notes, so hopefully Mike will put that up, and you guys can see a skinnier, younger George.
Yeah, I'm just watching your video now. She's quite literally going back and forth, back and forth.
I know. And what you don't see in the video is a conversation I had before about, well, it's either going to blow up or it's going to go bang. So she actually, every time I go to shoot, she kind of runs away. All right. Well, let's move on to Benny.
Best time at the range?
Just a fond memory. Just when you think about good times or good times you've had at the range, just anything that you've just kind of comes to mind.
Well, it's all good times at the range. Like, it's kind of hard to nail down exactly one.
You've had to figure this out.
You expected me to actually look at the show notes beforehand?
He never does.
I sat down here and I'm like, I was Thomas scrolling back and back and trying to find the show notes in our conversation. I'm going to guess he's probably shooting the 458 Magnum. Is that what it is? 458 Magnum? That doesn't sound right. Whatever. Gavin's huge gun. That's probably my favorite. Good memory, I guess.
Oh, is a single shot Ruger. Yeah. I think it's a 458 Winchester, isn't it?
458. Win Mag? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Ruger number one. Well, he posted videos of people shooting at the charity shoot on the helicopter pad, and you can see when Brian shot it, he was a little sore after that shot.
Yeah. He has a leather butt pad, so it actually slipped off my shoulder. So he's got to put some like tape or something on that so it doesn't slide around as much. But it's that's probably my fondest memory.
And now that Thomas has rejoined us, Thomas, what about you?
I guess the first time I ever went shooting, I was probably 9 or 10, and my stepfather for Christmas got me a Winchester Cooey. Model 39 single shot, And it took all of my, I had to use two hands because you had to cock it for each shot. It took all my strength to shoot this thing. And to this day, whenever I'm out of range and somebody's shooting Winchester Wildcat, as soon as I smell it, it brings back that memory. Just
awesome.
I was talking to Glenn today. And we were talking about the smell because he liked the smell of the Aguila stuff. And I mentioned it to him. I said, you know what I like? I like the smell of Winchester Super X because it brings me back to when I'm 10 years old at the range for the first time and I'm shooting at the five bulls and I just kept seeing my score going up and up and I was addicted from that moment. And the addiction has never stopped. I guess that's my first time. My addiction has never stopped.
That's an awesome story. All right. And Mike. Oh, that's right. Mike hates the listeners. So, and he's not here.
Just today.
Okay. So now, of course, you got the good, the bad, the ugly. So let's move on to the bad. And we'll start with the old guy.
The bad?
Love how you automatically know that's you.
Because I'm bad.
No, because you're the old guy.
The bad was a club I belonged to. We complained and complained and complained about the way the safe area was set up because it was forcing people to walk around with their guns, walk behind people from the firing line, and encase everything behind people. And I had a guy that I was shooting with, and he was putting away his gun. And like me, you know, he likes to pull dry fire, get rid of the spring tension. Well, he didn't check his rifle, and it was a .22, luckily. And there was a round in the chamber, and that bullet missed my head by about a foot. That was bad. And same club. I was on the board of directors, and one of the fellow club members and a friend of mine, who's actually no longer a friend, he asked if he could use my Ruger Mark II, and I said, sure, but when you're done, because I'm in a meeting, I said, just make it safe, put it in the case, put the trigger lock in, and just put it in the door, and you can use it. So I came home, and I said, okay, I'm going to clean this thing. And I'm in the kitchen. Normally I do it downstairs. For some reason, I figure I'm going to clean it in the kitchen sink, which really ticks my wife off when you get chemicals and stuff all over the kitchen sink, because then I have to wipe down the whole sink afterwards. And with, like most guns, you have to really pressure on the hammer before you disengage it. So if you're, I'm going to have to dry fire it, pull the magazine out, and I was just about to pull the trigger, I better check to make sure this thing's unloaded first. And, of course, I opened it up, and there was a round in the chamber. So if I hadn't checked, like we've been taught to, I would have shot a hole in the kitchen sink, and the wife would have been really ticked off. So
that's why I think I've seen the sink that time.
Well, the first thing that went through my mind is, what would happen if you'd gotten pulled over on the way home, and you got some a-hole cop, and decided to search in your car, or doing something like that, and then found a loaded pistol?
I don't know, but he got a phone call right away, and I just reamed him, because I haven't talked to him since.
I don't blame you. Like, that's... Wow.
But, you know, just out of... You know, just... It was just instinct. Like, if you're... Because I went to pull the thing up, and if you're... Oh, yeah, it's cocked. I have to decock it. And out of instinct, I was just going to pull the trigger and decock it. Oh, shit, I better check it first. And that was it, so...
Now, how pissed off would Terry have been if you put a bullet-sized hole in the sink?
Well, it's pretty thick steel. It could have bounced back and come at me.
I think you would have punched through it.
I don't know. Point blank, man, I might have. She might have got a new sink out of the deal. But do you think she would encourage my shooting sports if I had put a hole in the sink and I'd been unsafe? So
no.
That's why you follow the safety rules, because stupid things like that happen.
Yeah. How do you not shoot all your bullets at the range? Like, how does that happen?
I don't know.
Like, I'm just sitting here, like, I'm laughing because I'm like, there's never a situation where it's like, oh, let's go home. Okay, I'm going to stop in the middle of this magazine. No, I'm going to finish the magazine off, make sure there's nothing left in the gun, and then go home.
Maybe you had a hang fire or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
I heard the same guy was at the range last year. And he actually has a Model 59 that I sold him quite a few years ago. And he had a problem. He loaded a full magazine backwards.
Huh?
Yeah. Double stack 9mm. Exactly. Then he was using a screwdriver from the primer side to try to get the rounds out.
Okay, well, I can't criticize him too much for that because When I've had a crimp,
the magazine backwards, or he put the magazine in the gun backwards.
No, he put the cartridges in the magazine backwards.
Okay.
Well, he put the cartridges in backwards.
In backwards, and then he was using a metal object because, of course, he jammed them in there. Don't ask me how he did it. A friend of mine was telling me about what had happened at the range. Oh, the stupid idiot! I said, "Oh, was his name so and so?" He goes, "Yeah, that was him." I said, "Yeah, that's the same idiot that gave me back the loaded gun." So. And apparently he's still a member in good standing at that club.
I've used a knife to get, when I've lost a crimp on my 45s in my rifle, I've used a knife to get him out, to get the one that's on the elevator part thing that lifts it up to, I don't know what the hell you call it, the part that engage? Lifts the bullet to put it in the chamber.
The lifter.
The lift gate.
Lifter. No, the lift gate's what you put it through, the lifter. Anyway, so it'll get jammed up on there, and it won't lift, and it. So you gotta use something to kind of push them back into the tube magazine to kind of cycle it, and I don't know, it's just. And I'm sitting there going, I'm using a knife to do this. I'm not sure this is the smartest thing to do.
Still got all your fingers and toes, though, right? So you should be fine.
Yeah, so. Safety third. Or at least a close fourth. All right, my show notes have closed. Okay, so next we got the IDF guy.
Bad. Personally, I've never been shot or anything like that. I think the worst that's ever happened is I was doing a course in the Army, and I had brass go down my shirt, and I had never had that before, and I was pretty lucky because I was the guy at the end, and I just spun around and started trying to pull this casing out. Afterwards, I was like, well, that was pretty dumb, because if anyone was standing next to me, I would have muzzled them all, but yeah.
I'd say that was bad.
That's pretty bad. But other than that, I think it's not too bad.
Yeah, I've had the hot brass thing happen. I've never spun. I just, as soon as it goes down, you just kind of...
You sort of yell and do that dance.
finger off the trigger, and you just say to yourself, oh, this is going to suck. It burns its way down your shirt, and you're like, oh.
Mine didn't go down. It got stuck on my collar and just sat there.
Oh, yeah. That's what happened with that 223. Just sat on my arm, and I had a perfect, perfect burn mark of a 223 case. It just stuck, and I had to pull it off.
I think you've posted the picture up on Facebook before, haven't you?
Yeah, I know. I've perfect tattoo.
Yeah, that's nasty. Yeah, I've had the hot casing thing. So, you know, the start of the show, I guess I'll go next. I guess my only real bad experience I've ever had is kind of FUDs and FUD style rules. Mm. Our club's getting better. You know, we're not allowed to holster, but we're slowly getting rapid fire too, right? Well, that's kind of what I'm getting to. We're getting away from the stupid no more than 5 rounds in a magazine. If your magazine is legally capable of holding 10, you load 10 rounds. So we're slowly working away from that. And we got this one guy, he shoots black powder. Nice man. Absolutely nice man. Anytime I talk to him, he's always polite. I enjoy our conversations. But you know that if he's on the black powder range, which is right next to the pistol range, and you pop off a few rounds just a little quicker than he thinks you should be, all you hear from the next range armor, no rapid fire. And it makes me smile and then want to pop off a few more faster.
I would too.
I don't understand that. They changed the rule recently at my club, saying you're not allowed to do rapid. It used to be that if you were a member and you're at the action range, you can shoot rapid fire. They've since changed that to now if you're a member and you have your holster qualification, you're allowed to do rapid fire. Otherwise, you're not allowed to do rapid fire, which, you know, I think is a little ridiculous.
What is rapid fire? Like, sometimes if you're on target, you can knock off the shots accurately. I mean, it just dumping the magazine, or you have to do like one shot every 30 seconds. Like, what's the definition of rapid fire?
That's one shot every 2 to 3 seconds.
Well, and see, that's the problem. Who defines what rapid fire is? Is it one shot per second? Is it one shot per 2 to 3 seconds? And who's going to stand there with a stopwatch while everyone shoots individually? You're going to have one stopwatch per person? Like, it's so subjective, and it's a little ridiculous.
Because if I'm shooting steel and I've got the compensated 22 with the red dot, the muzzle's not rising. The muzzle's not rising at all. So I can knock them off pretty fast. And they're controlled. They're all going downrange. They're all hitting the target. It's not like I'm just dumping the magazine to make it sound really cool going off. So if I can accurately put a shot downrange and stay on target constantly, I don't consider that rapid fire. If you're just sitting there blindly just pushing it as fast as you can, but if you're engaging a target and you're hitting it and you're doing it rapidly, I wouldn't consider that rapid fire because you're being responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the same rule too because nobody's ever said anything, but they don't want you to do rapid fire for the neighbors.
Well, and that was
That's a legitimate reason. But if it's not neighbors, because at my range there are really no neighbors, and it's limited because of safety, because you have members who can shoot full like really fast. It's just your qualifications. I'm putting that in quotation marks that allows you to shoot quickly. Then it's not a neighbor sound issue. It's a it's a safety issue. But
a competency issue.
Exactly. And if it's, who's to say if you're competent or not? And like, I'm sorry, but at my range, you have to pay $300 and something to do a course that quote unquote makes you holster qualified. I'm not shilling out the cash for something like that.
Yeah.
That's just not worth it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's a little foolish. And, like one of the guys I was talking to, one of the things he brought up is, okay, IPSC practices Wednesday nights. Well, what if you're a shift worker and you work afternoons and you can't make it out to the IPSC practice? Does that mean you're never allowed to practice IPSC? Because the whole part of IPSC is speed and accuracy, right? So if you can't rapid fire, well, how are you supposed to practice? Like we don't, as general members, we don't have access to the action ranges. Those are just for matches, but like you could set up 3 or 4 targets. And we got varying distance on our pistol range. So from one bay, you could have like 3 different distances and just do some practicing at different distances. Right. So it's a fun thing that just doesn't make sense.
Can you use a holster at your range or do you have to be holster certified?
No. And that's the other thing, right? We can't use holsters. So you have
at
to
all? Shoot off. Or only if you're holster qualified.
No, at all. Even if you've got your black badge.
Yeah, same with my range. Unless you're actively engaging in a club shoot, you cannot wear a holster.
Again, something that makes absolutely no sense. Like, it's absolute foolish. You go to one club in Ontario, and you're allowed to holster. You go to another club, you're not allowed to. You go to another club, and who knows what their rules are, right? Like, it just... Right, so for me, that would...
That's club rules, right? You're not dealing... It's not because... if someone at your club said, oh, you're only allowed to have 5 rounds in a magazine because that's the law, then I'm sorry, that's not the law.
No, no, these are just strictly club-level rules.
Right, well, right,
so
exactly.
That's why I said FUDs, right? So FUDs and FUD-style rules.
The 5-round comes from all... The old clubs used to be Bullseye clubs. And with Bullseye, it's 5 rounds in a magazine. Because when I first joined my club, they had just changed the rules from 5 rounds to magazine capacity. And we have action pistol. It's club level action pistol. And we have cowboy action. But the club rule is that you can't use it. Even if you're holster. And you can't use a holster. You have to take the club level holster certification. Or you have to have some type of holster certification before you do it. They're pretty good. They will give you the training. And they don't charge you for it. But, everything else is so well run. I don't really... care. It kind of bugs me though because I can't practice.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I've got my black badge. I've got my PPC instructors. I've got my Canadian Defensive Pistol. I probably get in that club. I probably have the most qualifications to be holster certified. But it's well run. My membership fees are really cheap. The club's financially sound. Everybody's really nice. That's the only rule I disagree with. But I don't break the rule.
Yeah. Well, and like, that's my only bad is kind of FUD and FUD rules. And we have signage and I'd have to look again because I've looked high and low and I don't see anywhere any signage that says anything about maximum 6 rounds. And, the board of directors claims there's signage that needs to be changed before they can officially allow 10 or magazine capacity. And I'm like, where the hell are these signs? Please just point them out to me.
Any sign of would have to be on the firing line.
I know, but I've never seen.
They're saying they can't change the rules because they have a sign saying otherwise.
Yeah, you can't load 10 rounds because the club rules, according to these signs, say 6.
If the club
they're saying they can't change the rules because there's a sign somewhere that says that that's not the rule. So change the rule, and then when you see the sign, you deal with it appropriately.
Yeah, take a magic marker, cross off the 6, and put in the 10.
Exactly. And there is the crazy.
Or just cross out the whole rule.
The craziest thing is there isn't even a rule. There's no. If you look at the official rules, there is no capacity restrictions. It's just there's a couple signs that are out on the range that say 6. And for some reason, they've decided that, yeah, we were going to allow 10, but we got to change these signs. I'm like, okay, well, then you guys have been talking to us for 6 months. Why aren't the signs changed? Oh, well, you know, I'm like, okay, give me a magic mark. Give me a Sharpie. I'll go change the signs right now. Give me a Sharpie. Just give me a can of paint.
You don't have to make a rule saying you only allow load to 10 rounds, because that in and of itself is what you're trying to say. You're not use Beowulf mags. Like, come on. Well, that's not a thing.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is there is no rule. There's no rule that exists. Somebody took it upon themselves to make their own rule and start kind of bullying members into it, and it grew from there into when they made the signs, because it's always been, this is the way it's always been, so it's 6 rounds because that's the way it's always been. It's like, well, yeah, but there's no rule. There's no effing rule. So... That stuff kind of annoys me. So that's my bad. All right. So let's move on to the ugly. So let's hear from the hater. Oh, yeah. He's still not here. So let's go on to the hacker. And I'm not talking about the computer type. Thomas.
You mean me?
That's nasty. That's so nasty.
Well, you said hacker. The ugly?
I have no idea what to... I've got nothing envisioned for this for this part of the topic. So whatever you think is ugly about you've experienced within at the range.
My last club, Union Rod and Gun Club. I'll throw them out on the bus.
They don't exist anymore, do they?
Oh yeah, they're still active. Chris Wachowski, JT, and I, and there's quite a few of my friends. We all belong to that club, and they didn't have any leagues going at all. So I asked to, I said, well, at one time they did have PPC and they did start, the badge, Canadian Defensive Shield. So I went up to the president and I said, you know, well, why don't we have any leagues? He goes, well, why don't you start one? I said, okay, love to start one. So the most qualified person I knew to do any type of course like that is Chris Wachowski. He's an IPSC black badge shooter. He's been shooting for years. So I went up to Chris and said, hey, Chris, they said we could start up a league. You know, you're the most qualified person to do rules and everything else. Cause I'd never shot IPSC. I was shooting stationary with PPC plus the CD, the Canadian Defensive Pistol badge. But I figured Chris it was the person. So Chris got right into it. He actually designed a course. He did a great job, a holster certification course. And then first the president gave me heck for getting Chris involved. And I said, well, you told me I could do it. He said, no, I told you to do it. I said, yeah. So I got the most qualified person I knew. He goes, but I didn't say Chris. I said, you. I said, yes, you got me to do it. So the most qualified person I know to teach the course and set stuff. So he was mad because I asked somebody else, first of all, which is ridiculous. You know,
That is doing it.
I did. I said, hey, Chris.
You took control. You went to the guy most qualified and said, hey, let's do this.
And he did. And he did a great job on it. He did everything per Black Badge rules, retention, everything else. He did a great training course. We trained everybody. You know, I assisted him with the training, but he set up the itinerary because he just went right from the Black Badge stuff, which is what I wanted. Because, you know, eventually we wanted to get IPSC at the range. So if you get these guys running on IPSC rules and everything else, it's just a natural transgression or progression. Sorry, not a transgression. So, you know, the rule we have is that we should shoot indoors or outdoors, but when we're finished shooting, you know, we would still have our guns on our hips. They'd be empty and everything would be cleared. And, you know, we would go inside and have a break and have a drink of water, but we'd still leave everything holstered. Well, some of the FUDs got really, really bent out of shape when they walked in. They saw us with the guns holstered. They were all cleared. They were all safe. And the president of the club, the new president, because the one president resigned, there's a whole big kerfuffle. So he had a big meeting with us, and the president said he shut us down. He was shutting down the Action Pistol League. And we'd only had it going for a couple of months. And it was great. We had a three-gun match going. We had weekly practices and everything else. So at the meeting, I said, why are you shutting us down? Like, give me a valid reason why you're shutting us down. And he said, well, you don't give me that warm, fuzzy feeling. That was his rationale.
Oh, my goodness.
That is the FUD of all FUDs, saying something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
And it got from bad to worse. And it became a hostile takeover. It got really nasty. And we all quit. We all quit. And now they have no leagues whatsoever.
Yeah.
They only had one person doing the club level safety course. And he was a grade four teacher. So that's how he taught the course. You sat down with him. It was like you're getting crayons and books. There was no hands-on. There was no tactical. Oh, no. There was no practical stuff involved. And I'm like, okay, well, you missed this, 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 and this. So then the president asked me to get involved. So there's just the two of us. There was only a couple of us doing you needed an RO to run the outdoor range. So all the guys that he shut down and made quit, we were the guys doing all the work. We built the fence. We helped build a new range. We cut down all the lumber, cut the boards for the new pistol range. We built an extra range. So all the guys that did all the work, then they shut us down because we didn't get the warm, fuzzy feeling. So.
Oh my
FUDs
goodness.
Upon FUDs.
I had, a couple years ago, I had a guy actually say that Kremlin should not be associated, how do you put it? This is a couple years ago. He was pissed off that we were getting the Recoil magazine as part of our CSSA membership, and that we shouldn't be associating with Recoil magazine, and if the CSSA are going to be getting in bed with them, that we should stop associating with the CSSA because they have assault military-style weapons on their cover, and there's no place in Canada for that type of weaponry, and he just started going on and on and on, and everyone's kind of looking around, and I'm like thinking to myself, the whole point of Recoil magazine is to focus on guns that we can actually legally can obtain in Canada. Because every other
Recoil
magazine...
Recoil or Caliber?
Caliber, sorry. Caliber. Caliber.
I was like wondering, I'm like, Recoil is not a cheap magazine, and it's not coming with your CSA number.
Sorry, Caliber. I don't know where I got Recoil from. But anyways, Caliber, right? And I'm thinking, the whole point of Caliber is because every other magazine out there is American-based, and half the guns we can't even get in Canada, so it's like, what's the point, right? And their focus is on Canadian legal guns. And I end up shaking my head and walking away because this guy was just so ridiculous.
I would just turn to him and I'd say, do you have a head injury or something? Like, you should go see your doctor because you have issues.
Like, I've heard anti-gun liberals speak more rationally about guns than this guy was. And this guy was a gun owner. And I was just dumbfounded. I really didn't know what to say.
Unfortunately, there are people like that. There's a lot of division between shooters. I had it last summer. I had one guy, he was a hunter. He didn't think anybody should own handguns, only the police and the military. And I sat down and I said, you know what? I used to feel the exact same way. He's like, no. I said, yeah, I really did. I didn't think anybody should have handguns except the police and the military. He said, until I actually tried shooting one. I said, oh my God, did my opinion change?
Yeah.
But there's no use in fighting with people like that.
Well, that's why I walked away. I just...
You have to invite them out and let them try. You got to try. Pistols are so much fun. And I have convinced people that were kind of anti-handgun. They like rifles and shotguns, but they weren't crazy about handguns. And when you teach them that it's an Olympic sport and the amount of skill involved, like, it's a whole different skill set when you start shooting pistols. You know, sometimes educating is the best thing, which is what I like about the CCFR. Their whole program is education-based right now, so.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with the CCSA and Caliber magazine. They're both great organizations.
I enjoy my Caliber magazine immensely, especially when they have lever actions in them.
I get that in Guns and Ammo, honestly.
I've never seen a lever. I've seen lever actions.
Okay. So I've run out of clever things to call Benny, so I'm just going to say, Benny, do you have an ugly story?
I'm going to go with rain with ROs that are along the same lines. Ugly. I had one RO who flipped out at someone because they had a single action pistol. They had the gate, the loading gate open to show that that chamber was empty. And the guy's like, nope, you got to remove the whole barrel, the whole, cylinder. So he knows that it's safe, you know? And then, someone changed the flag before he changed the flag. And he, and this guy who took, you know, there's no rule anywhere. And I asked the head RO that same day, a couple minutes later about it. And he said, yeah, there's no rule about removing your cylinder. And this guy just started chewing in at this guy because the flag was up the green. Everyone was away from the table. And he started walking to his target to change his target. And the RO just started yelling at him. And I was just like, oh, come on. I'm not going to say anything because I don't need to, you know.
You don't need that up. Target on you.
Yeah. And this guy, he wrote up the RO wrote up this member because he didn't do it the way he, the RO wanted it done. And it's just like, seriously, you've been an RO for what, 10 minutes? And now you're already getting all uppity about this. So jeez. I don't know. I don't really like the way that range is going, but it's only one I'm a member of right
my,
now. So.
My club was like that when I first started. They wanted you to take, when you're on the bench, they wanted you to take the cylinder out. So what they've done now, and depending on who the RO is, you have the loading gate open, and then you also have something against the hammer, like a chamber flag, so to physically block the hammer as well, too.
Well, it's not an easy process to pull the cylinder out of a single action.
Depending on the model, some of them are difficult because you have to take, some of them have a spring plundered base pin, which makes it easier. Some of them you have to physically tap out that pin to take it out. Like if you've got a Ruger, sure, there's a base pin that's spring loaded, you can take it out. If you got an old Colt, that's not happening.
Well, I know, and you're getting into disassembling the gun at that point. Like yeah. it's not like a double action modern day revolver where the cylinder just flips out and flips back in. Like you're getting into disassembling the gun to get the chamber, the cylinder out.
And the gun can't fire with the loading gate open either, can it?
I think it can. So. Probably can.
Okay.
Then put the hammer down, and then nothing's happening.
Yeah.
You know, if you leave the hammer down, the gun's not doing anything. It's a single action. It's sort of in the name.
Yeah.
kind of like Boy Scouts.
Yeah, it's you know, and they've been changing their rules progressively in like the past 6 months, where it went from this part of the range, you should shoot rimfire from this bench, but you know if you shoot from any other bench, no one's gonna care. To no, you have to shoot at this bench, and you're not allowed to shoot past 100 yards with rimfire. And you know, I'm like, okay, I've never seen that rule before, and I wasn't the one called out on it. Luckily,
you can't shoot someone else past 100 yards with rimfire.
Yeah. They don't want you shooting at 200 yards with a rimfire.
I can see it because the whole, unless you know what you're doing, the holdover is going to be pretty severe with the rimfire. Like you're going to be half aiming a couple of feet, but
right. Worst comes to worst, you're shooting low.
I know there's one bench there you can't shoot the steel at the rimfire because they worry about ricochet. Right, well,
yeah, they're super worried about ricochets in that range. It's a little like I before going to that range, I never heard of anyone complaining about ricochets, but apparently they have them all the time. So, you know, I'm I don't know. And yeah. Then, but that RO just, I don't know. That day was a bad day because then another RO was just yelling at people because a whole bunch of people came to the range in sandals, and the guy's like, nope. You have to have closed toe shoes. Otherwise you're shooting with barefoot and you're not like, and then you got to cover your foot with a bag while you're shooting or something. But when you're walking around, you got to walk around barefoot. It made no sense whatsoever. It was just like the guy was trying to make these people have a rough day. It made no sense.
I've never heard of foot like dress code.
Oh, there's okay. So they suggest at my range.
When I'm taking, especially women to the range, I tell them that I don't want flip flops. I want running shoes. I want clothes covered feet. Because I've seen hot brass strands on people and you know, foot covering.
But if say you happen to forget to tell, you got a woman coming out and you happen to forget to tell her to wear running shoes and she shows up in flip flops, are you going to deny her and say, no, you can't shoot?
So I'm reading off the rules right now. Eye and ear protection, safety, prescription and sunglasses are mandatory at all times while on the range on both red and green flag colors. Any person not complying with the safety requirement will be sent home for a day if a third reminder is necessary. So that's new. It used to be only on red flag whenever shooting was. Otherwise, you know, you didn't have to have your proper footwear is also required at all times when on the range. No sandals or open-toe footwear is permitted. So this guy was saying you have to wear a plastic bag on your foot. You're not allowed to wear your sandals. And when you go to and from your car with your guns, you have to do it barefoot, which made no sense whatsoever. I would have just left at that point.
I would have said, yeah, right. It doesn't
say. I would have left and complained to the owner and said, excuse me, I don't know what you know what's going on at your range, but you range safety officers that are demanding people walk around barefoot.
No, he can't. That's a safety issue right there. You've got all kinds of brass casings and sharp pieces of metal.
I was thinking the same thing, Thomas. It made no sense. Either they're trying to lower down the because apparently people don't like going to this range because they think a lot of noobs are there and they're not being safe or whatever. But you know,
I don't know if we actually
the RSOs have... are just sick of it. But it's I don't know.
Well, think of like my range. Everybody takes the same training and everybody is the same on the range. Like the ROs, it's the same. The line's checked every time. Everybody's really, we've got like 25 certified ROs. So when the line is run at my range, it's run very well. It's very safe. I've got no problems there. We might have a rule about footwear. I don't know.
Sure if we do either.
I know when I take somebody shooting, especially if a girl's coming up, I say wear running shoes and I say wear a t-shirt, no cleavage. And wear a baseball hat. If you wear prescription sunglasses, bring those. Don't wear contacts. No sunglasses if we're indoors. Whatever lenses that you need to see. But, you know, cover the chest and cover the feet. Because that's where the brass is going to go. Boobies are brass catchers and toes are brass catchers. So you don't want somebody getting hot brass down their top or down on their toes. Because it could create issues with a loaded gun in their hands. I've seen it happen. Boobies. I've seen it. I was shooting... I had my neighbor Madison, and she had a young friend with her, and the hot brass went down the young lady's top, and she threw a loaded firearm on the bench. Like, I mean, threw it. It hit the bench, bounced off the bench, and landed downrange. It bounced, my Walther P-22. Ouch. And I said, that's it. You're done. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
But luckily, it's got a drop safety.
That's still kind of scary, though.
Oh, yeah. It scared the crap out of me.
I understand where she's coming from, and I understand where you're coming from, and I think that situation was handled perfectly well.
All right, and that brings it to me. Is that it, guys?
What is your ugly?
Mine is, and I've got myself down as, I'll someday finish my AR build guy, which is me. And my ugly story is the time I went to the range in a Speedo. Ha ha ha, thanks for coming out. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Oh, what a horrible thought for a sober man.
I know. Is that not ugly? And that's... I really don't have any ugly stories. This isn't an ugly story, but just kind of build back to what... kind of the theme you guys were putting on. I helped out at an IPSC match this weekend. I did that in guns. And I overheard a couple. It was hard. Not that I wasn't eavesdropping because like, they're standing almost right on top of me. I was sitting in my chair. And they were commenting on Crumlin, how they used to be members, and they left because the club, if you didn't shoot trap, you're just a piece of garbage and taking up space type of attitude. And I don't know if that's true, but that's what the impression these two people. So they had left and they had recently rejoined the club because of all the improvements that have gone on. And like IPSX just exploded. They got the Cowboy, they got PPC, they've got Bullseye, they got five stand, Skeet Trap. Like it's just, and the upgrades at the club have been quite significant. So, you know, the experience that you have or that members have at the range can have a huge effect on your membership. If people are coming out and being, you know, having a bad time, they're going to find other clubs and move on. So just kind of build on what you guys were saying. It is a bit of an ugly situation when a club starts going down the drains in a way that it's no longer fun to shoot at because of, for whatever reason, right? So, all right, that's all I have to say about that. We have no events in the show notes.
Well, a couple things. Lorianne, the Canadian Sportswomen Association, the hunting event that we've been promoting is sold out. You're out of luck.
That's awesome.
Which is good.
Not that you're, the people are out of luck, but that it's sold out.
No, I'm glad it's sold out because the last event, last pheasant hunt she had to have a minimum of 20 and like two people backed out or three people backed out the last second and they had to cancel because they didn't meet the minimum requirement. So it's great Lorianne got that. She says thank you. And Silverdale on their Make-A-Wish shoot last weekend, I think they raised over $15,000. And this is their first part. They do two. Sarah puts on a pumpkin shoot in the fall. She probably would have got a little bit more than she probably got a little less than she anticipated because she did the open house one weekend and then the next weekend she did the charity shoot or the fundraiser. So, you know, a lot of members might have been split to hit one or the other, you know, to split their funds. So I think she said next year she's actually make the open house earlier. So it doesn't, the two events don't come so close so people can attend both. But, you know, that's a nice start, 15,000. And then she'll have the pumpkin shoot in end of October. Cause I think their total last year, they raised almost $40,000 last year for Make-A-Wish. So,
wow.
Yeah, they did really, really well. I can't think of the only other thing I noticed at your club. Don't they have a new shooter thing for trap? If you go to the Crumlin's website, they've got a couple new shooter events coming up where you can learn how to do shoot trap. I think the cost is $25 for a round, and you don't need a license, don't need guns. They'll have somebody to teach you and somebody to show you. So if you want to go on the Crumlin website, you can. I think there's two dates coming up. I think there's two in August if you want to check out some trap shooting out near London.
Yep. Yeah, it runs every other week.
See, nothing's in the show note, and I still remember.
I know. The Alzheimer's guy remembers.
Pardon?
Sorry. What did you say?
Never so. Mind. Mike copies events in and he's working so they didn't get put in.
Like it's because he doesn't like the listeners. We got an email today, actually, right on today, that says, Dear Sir or Madam, I'm an air pistol shooter from India. I am planning to immigrate Canada. Is there any scope for this game in Canada? Thanks and regards, Ambrish Malwa. Malwa? That's what we're going to go with, Ambrish. So I got onto Messenger and got a hold of Mary, and she's going to email you. She may have already emailed you by now, and because I don't know anything about that, and she's kind of our competitive air pistol or air rifle, but she's our shooter that shoots with air. So
yeah, she's working. I'm leaving. So
yeah, so. It's you should be getting an email from her either today or tomorrow.
Actually, we should try to get her on the show soon because she just got back from Bisley. I'm not sure how she fared.
That's a good idea.
But she's busy because, no, she's a struggling student. So she's working as much as she can, try to save money for university. And plus, she's been traveling to Germany and England. So any spare time she has is usually saving money.
So please send any feedback, questions, or comments that you may have to host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in our comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. iTunes, Stitcher, anything? Crickets? Nope. Moving on. Facebook? I don't know. We got over 1,000.
1,137 last time I looked.
Attaboy. Okay. Wow. We went from like 2.5 hours last week to like, well, we'll have this wrapped up under an hour and a half. Because unlike Mike, I like the listeners. So, shout outs.
Actually, I thought it was Mike that liked the listeners and that you that didn't like the listeners.
What's that?
Hey, listen, new guy. Quote? Listen, new guy.
Doth the lady protest too much?
Hey, new guy. Listen, new guy. Don't give me any grief. That's what I'm going to start calling. I'll start calling the new guy.
So you're the middle-aged guy if I'm the old guy. Actually, you're the grandpa.
I am a grandfather. I'm gonna be seeing my little grandbaby next weekend. Daughter and her boyfriend are coming over for a barbecue.
Nice.
Bringing a little grandbaby over.
Benny has a little baby.
My granddaughter is actually older than Mike's daughter.
It's older than Benny's daughter, too.
Son.
Ben's son.
Sorry, Zev.
I meant to say.
I was going to say, I have a first cousin that's younger than one of my nieces.
Okay, so closing comments. Anybody?
You wrote the show.
Bueller. Okay. So, closing comments. Not here. If you have not watched The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly in a forever age, I was going to say a coon's age, but I'm not even sure if that's allowed to be said anymore. But, you know.
Man, you're old. Coon's age?
Yeah, oh the my coon's age. God. So, if you haven't seen it, get out, watch it. It's awesome.
I saw it. I didn't think it was that great.
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly?
Yeah. It's an awesome I'm pretty sure.
It's like 10 hours long.
I don't know. It just wasn't.
It's like three.
Okay, hours. So what are the names of the three spaghetti westerns, George, since you're that old?
The three spaghetti. There was a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Because they're cheap to make. That much I do know. And if you have a list.
No, you know what it is? It's the director was an Italian guy.
That's why they call them spaghetti westerns.
Yeah, because
I know. I thought they filmed them in Italy because it was cheaper to film them in Italy than it was to film them in the States. That's what I was always told.
So it's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Hang 'em High, and wasn't the other one Two Meals for Sister Sarah?
Well, yeah, there's those three. There's Outlaw Josie Wales.
No, but that wasn't the spaghetti western. That was a American-made one, the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, was it? Oh, I don't know. I loop them all. I just clump them all into... If the Clint Eastwood was in it, it was a spaghetti western. I don't get that technical.
You're not that
old. Could you not tell by my segment about the ICS, ISSC? Oh, you stick your finger and you push down this little metal thingy.
Do you want to try that in my AR?
No. I didn't want to try it in my M22. But I had no choice. It was the only way I can get the slide to move forward.
Or the M1's even better. That'll take your finger right off.
Grand Thumb.
I'll pass.
I think I need to get one of those.
Oh, you know what else?
I think Norinco needs to make a clone of that.
Who put in Mike, he's my hero, he went shooting as many times this weekend as I've been shooting all year?
I don't know, but it's pretty good. Mike. Go, Mike.
I think that was Mike that put that
in. It was.
Okay, I'll let him have it since I've been picking on him the whole show. So my shout out is to Mike. He's my hero. He went shooting as many times this weekend as I have all year. Thomas?
My shout out, I guess, to my friend Glenn. Glad you had fun. Thanks for coming out to the range with me today. And I think I hooked another new shooter.
Nice.
IDF guy? New guy?
Shout out to my wife for getting my website up and running and pushing me to do my reviews. As per usual. That's pretty much it. Not a lot happened this week.
It's been a quiet week. Okay, I'm looking up spaghetti westerns on Wikipedia. A Fistful of Dollars, so I figured that was one of them. Also known as Italian Westerns or Marconi Westerns.
Yeah, Marconi was the director. Yeah, so Good, Bad, Ugly, Fistful of Dollars.
In a broad subgenre of Western films that emerged in the mid-60s in the wake of Sergio Leone's filmmaking. He was the bad guy in The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. He was in A Fistful of Dollars. He was, anyways.
If you go in my gun club, when you go to the washroom.
Filming locations.
In the washroom is the poster for The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's got Lee Van Cleef, Clint Eastwood, and...
Lee Van Cleef, that's who I was thinking of, sorry. That's who I was thinking of. Most spaghetti westerns were made on low budgets using inexpensive locales. Many of the stories took place in the serum or whatever landscapes of the American Southwest and Northern Mexico. So popular settings was Tabernas Desert in the province of southwest Spain. And the studios of Texas Hollywood. Other filming, southern Italy, central and southern Italy. So, cool. They were filmed in Italy, too. Does it have a list of the movies? I don't see a list of the movies. Oh, here we go. Notably, three films of the Dollars trilogy, starring Clint Eastwood, Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Once Upon a Time in the West. I don't think I've ever even heard of that one. Oh, that's Charles Bronson. And Red Sun.
I didn't realize
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was part of the Fistful of Dollars. I didn't realize that those three were all grouped together. See the things you find out?
When you actually read?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just, usually I just give it the old college effort, call it a day. Who wants to get bogged down with details, honestly? All right. So, Mike, your end time is 1 hour 34 minutes minus the 9 minutes before.
Even though he's not here, we're going to make him edit the show.
There are many things.
Oh, sounds like Benny's son's had enough of this already. So, until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
Take a kid shooting.
It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night. Have a good night. Ciao.
I really like 22 Mag.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns.
I don't like that. Okay, well, Mike's going to have to figure it out.
Sorry, Mike. I can't hear anything.
Well, Mike gets the audio, so he can fix it. He can figure it out.
He's a technological genius, so I believe in him.
Okay, so I'm at 4 seconds, 5, 6, 7.
I think I'm a couple. I'm like a couple tenths of a second earlier than you.
That's fine, Mike. It
sounds like Thomas is a second behind, which is fine at this point.
16, okay. 17,
18. Okay, 20, now we're
21, 22, 23.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty close.
I know what Mike's going to say at that. You guys have excellent ability on counting there. Good job.
Yes, George is having another episode.
Hello and welcome to episode 144 of New Shooter Canada. Unless Benny wants lead. Oh, wait, I screwed that up. And I wrote it, too.
Okay. Just go with it.
Go. Mike doesn't want to edit.
Okay. So we're gonna do a take two, Mike. Okay, hold on. Okay, stop with the issues and the exclamation marks. Oh, it's Mike doing it. Thomas, do you have any good range stories that you like? Any like particular moment or something that really stands out? Makes you smile? Did Thomas actually leave?
I guess maybe he went for a smoke. I guess he was expecting that to be a little longer.
I can't believe Thomas actually left. It's like three lines. I got three lines written in the show notes.
I wasn't going to go towards the octagonal barrel.
Refresh your page.
Don't tell me what to do.
Sorry, Grandpa.